Let's go to Ireland and find out what's going on with Father Paul Cramer. The new pope is still in office, or whatever it is he's in. I still think Francis II would be appropriate. I don't know how it looks over there, but I'm looking forward to finding out. What do we know, and how are things looking from your perspective, Father Cramer?
Well, in the last two times I've been on your program, I think I've pretty much sized this man up pretty well.
I agree. Yes.
Since then, everything seems to be pointing in the direction that we have these question marks. Which side of the fence is he going to land on when he finally has to make a move to one side or the other? But it does not look good.
Are you saying, Father Cramer, that the little, he's not giving many signals, but the little signals we're seeing are pointing in the wrong direction? Is that summing it up, sort of?
Yes, because he wants to stay the course marked out by Bergoglio.
Can't do it.
Bergoglio.
Nope. Won't work.
Francis, a hideous memory.
Yeah. Huh.
So, and there are many Catholics now who are very discouraged. They think that this man could be in office for another 20 years. That will not happen. I can tell you right now. I know most certainly that will not be, because we have the voice of prophecy signals what will be the future events that will take place. And there is a unanimity of prophecy that makes it very clear that we are now at the crossroads of history. There's going to be a literally earth-shattering series of events, and everything is going to change in the world.
I already completely signed on for that revision of reality. I agree with you. And did you see what Vladimir Putin said today? You probably saw the headline. That Russia now faces, with the Ukraine war, an existential crisis. That's a very strong term, and the headline is Russia declares existential threat from Ukraine, and it seems to me that if Putin doesn't do something of at least a public relations decisive, if not extravagant, sort, Russia's going to lose credibility, maybe unrecoverably. I don't know. They're not acting decisively yet. Never have. He keeps leaning on diplomacy, which is fine. I'm not saying I want nuclear war, but he's got to do something. I know the Russian people are not happy with the way that the Ukraine war has been waged. 3.5 years of death, destruction. Great for the military-industrial complex, but what have they accomplished, really? The Ukrainians are still in some of the Donbass area that voted to become Russian. They haven't been all expelled yet, so that's how gruesome this has been. Please continue.
Russia will act decisively, and it's not going to be a beneficial event for the Western powers, for the Western countries, for especially Western Europe, will first pay the price of their own folly. They're the ones, of course, with the United States, who have made this war happen. There should never have been a war. We look back 20 years ago, and people expected peace between Russia and the West. When I spoke of, I said this 20 years ago. I was visiting a friend in Germany, and I said there's going to be a war, and it's going to be, Russia is going to be at war with the Western with Western Europe and with North America, the United States.
Uh huh.
And my German friend said, no, no, that's not going to happen. At the time, Schröder was the German chancellor. And he said, look, Putin and Schröder are friends. I said, Schröder is not the problem. The situation is going to change. You're not going to have friendly relations between the West and Russia much longer. And I said this 20 years ago, and it's happened exactly as I said. We have this unanimity of prophecy, which tells us that in our own lifetime, during the life expectancy of people of my generation, there is going to be a major war. There's going to be a world war, and it's in sacred scripture. It's in more clearly, more explicitly set forth in the prophetic messages of the saints and in the message of the message of Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima. Some of the Greek Orthodox saints have spoken very clearly about the same matter. Like there's a unanimity of prophecy. Okay. In the next few years, we are going to see a war, and it's going to be a war will begin principally as a European war. A war, Russia is going to act very decisively in response to this existential threat. Mm-hmm. That is a real existential threat for Russia. Russia has been targeted, and being a military superpower, it is an act of insanity.
I agree.
For the NATO allies to target Russia,
yep,
as they have done. Because this means inevitably that there will be a world war. Now,
Father Kramer, would you agree that Russia cannot restrict its response, which we assume it's going to make, to Ukraine? It's going to have to step across and into NATO's backyard somehow, somewhere. Maybe a couple of places. I don't know. But this is clearly a Western NATO American sponsored war against Russia. Clearly. There's no arguing that. So they're going to have to do something that steps outside of the Ukrainian, well, what do you call it? Game board? Whatever. Anyhow.
Well, the bad actors are outside of beyond the borders of Ukraine. So, in order to neutralize the threat to Russia, Russia is going to respond by going beyond the borders of Ukraine, and that means the theater of war is going to include all of Europe.
That's right. I think Russia has to at this point. They've been pushed and pushed and pushed to the point that if they don't and they restrict it to more infrastructure targeting in Ukraine and so forth, he's not going to make a statement. This attack on Russia was about as dramatic as you can get short of a nuclear attack. That's pretty crazy.
It reminds me of the problem during the Korean War, when you had on the other side of the border Communist China. And just restricting the combat missions and activity to the military action to within the confines of Korea could not bring about a successful end to the war, because at one point it appeared that the war was about to be ended, but then you had just a massive invasion from China, and then the Korean War became much more nasty than what they expected at the beginning. Now, General MacArthur wanted to go beyond the Chinese border,
right.
And Truman being an idiot and a criminal,
yes, sir.
Truman would not allow MacArthur to go beyond the border of Korea and address the problem at the root of the danger that was threatening Korea and threatening to destabilize it and communize the rest of that region.
Truman was a loser, an awful president. Another one.
I've read a good number of books about the Korean War, some very scholarly works, and for one thing, this idea that people have that it would have been set off a Third World War if the American forces had attacked the communists in China, that's nonsense. Mao Zedong had actually requested of Stalin military assistance, but the Soviet Union was so so preoccupied about Eastern Europe and had its hands full with that situation, with the Iron Curtain, that Stalin told Mao, basically, you're on your own. We can't help you. You're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So there would have been no response from the Soviet Union. The United States could have taken out the communist regime of China, which would have been a wonderful thing if they had done so. But as we know, it was the United States State Department that helped expel the communists
here
in China.
Yes, yes.
So that's the situation that we have, and we still have until today. We still have, well, we have this regime they call the Hermit Kingdom up in North Korea. They don't like to be called North Korea because they in their paranoid insanity, they consider that Korea is the North, is the communist North.
Got it.
And they are armed to the teeth. A very dangerous, a very dangerous power. And the North Korean leaders are not have not been, not one of them have been sane mentally. They're all mentally off, and that's, and the reason why is that to use the terminology of an exorcist, Malachi Martin spoke of those who are perfectly possessed by the devil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that kind of paranoid insanity is one of the signs of a person who is fully, totally possessed by the devil.
You know who I think is the most potentially dangerous one there is Kim's sister. If you watch her, this woman is not playing games. She is focused, not loony. I think she may be the first sane one of the group. I'm talking about several generations. But his sister is tough. So there's something to watch. If something happens to him, she would, I think, succeed him right away.
Sane in a certain sense, but insane in the sense of communism causes people to become paranoid in a manner that is a delusional paranoia, and that is something demonic, and that's what communism does to the person who embraces that demon inspired ideology of communism,
right?
And it, we see in the communist countries that kind of demonic paranoia, and in scripture It is written. The question is, why do the nations rage and the people utter folly? And the kings of the earth who wage war against God and against his Christ. And we see this so fulfilled, this word of scripture, the psalm. It is so much been fulfilled in our time in the 20th and now 21st century. We see the scripture being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Ratzinger, the former Pope Benedict XVI, when he was still Cardinal Ratzinger, he spoke of the third secret of Fatima, and he said that what is there is already in Scripture. And he said it's been stated many other times in other Marian apparitions. So the Blessed Virgin Mary has spoken in, prophetically to the world on other occasions, not just in Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we can be certain, and it is guaranteed to be true by what is in sacred scripture itself. It is not a message of doom. Neither the message of Fatima, the secret of Fatima, nor the sacred scripture is a message of doom for the world. It is a message of salvation, that God is not going to abandon the human race, although a large portion of humanity, having rebelled against God, is going to pay the price. And that there's going to be massive destruction in the world, but that is going to cleanse the earth of all the evil.
I hope so. If that happens, Father Kramer, I hope the bad guys finally get their comeuppance. This is getting to be ridiculous. They get away with everything. They seem to control everything. And I'm speaking for myself, not Father Kramer. This is international Zionism, Jewish supremacy, with any number of key positions, not just in this country, and governments, completely under the thumb or the boot of these people. And they've been at it for 2,000 plus years. They've got it now, and I'm very concerned about them being held accountable now or ever. I worry about that. I'd like to see some balance brought forward, and I'm not seeing it yet. It's going to have to come from above, if above is the right terminology. It's going to have to come from God and the universe. These people are not normal. You don't shoot little babies in the head, little children, little toddlers. You don't shoot pregnant women in the stomachs and laugh and congratulate yourselves. You don't bomb hospitals, schools, government centers. And this country, the formerly United States of America, is supporting all of that. Trump is supporting every single bit of it openly. What does that make Trump? It makes him one of Satan's own. I'm speaking for myself. The man is abjectly evil. That's just me. Your thoughts?
This has all been foretold. There was a book written, I think, when the prophecy was made, I think around 1807. I'm not sure what year the book was written. There was an Armenian Jew. His name was Zachary. And he received revelations from God, and the revelations were so Catholic that that Zachary converted to the Catholic faith, and it was I'm trying to think of the name, a priest by the name of Father Fattacelli, who had edited these prophecies, and there is such a Christian piety in the substance of the words of these prophecies that lead one to believe that these are authentic prophecies, and also because of what is foretold is about our times, that it could not be something that by some natural power that a man could have come up in the early 19th century, could have spoke about things that are happening now in the 21st century. But he describes that there will be a war, a major confrontation between the West, between North America and those countries which he gives the geographical dimensions of the other, the opposing power to the West. And it is roughly equivalent to what was the Soviet Union and China. And that the major confrontation would take place between these powers. And the Eastern power is going to prevail. They will defeat the West.
No surprise here.
That's not where it ends.
The West.
That's not where it ends.
Mm-hmm.
As if anyone who has studied history knows that when the great powers clash, is a third party will benefit because the two powers will weaken each other. The two powers will weaken each other, and a third power will be the beneficiary of that struggle. And so, when you have the United States and Russia clashing, and the battleground will be Europe, and there's going to be massive destruction in Europe. There will be a third party that will, for a period of time, will dominate, and that power is—it's not just one country; it's a power that will dominate countries. And a term that we can use from Scripture, I think, is aptly signifies what that power will be. It is called Antichrist. And this is the reason why Our Lady of Fatima asked for the consecration of Russia. Because the conversion of Russia, which is that Russia will be completely transformed and become an instrument in the hand of God against this Antichrist force. And the message of Fatima is that Christ will triumph over the enemies of God, the enemies of humanity, the enemies of the human race. And there will be a Christian social order restored in the world. And all this godlessness will be swept away. I knew a priest back in the 70s. His name was Father Stefano Scorza. He was an Italian. And he was the beneficiary of heavenly revelations. And he spoke about these things. And he said, communism will be completely forgotten. And the world will be transformed. There will be a true triumph of God, of Christ in the world that will take place. And this is already the message of Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Pope will consecrate Russia to me. Russia will be converted, and a period of peace will be given to the world. All of the nations of the world are in need of conversion. There is corruption and godlessness everywhere. But conversion is going to, the real great conversion will begin with Russia. And the consecration of Russia to be carried out by the Pope and the Catholic bishops and all the bishops of the world of the Catholic Church, that collective collegial act is going to bring down a grace from heaven that is going to instill that divine power into Russia to become the particular force of Christian piety and Christian virtue to transform the world from the evil that we experience it, that we see all around us today, and a restoration of a Christian social order in the world.
Time frame? So that, what's our time frame on this? Do we have one?
The time frame was given by a canonized saint of the Catholic Church, which is Padre Pio of Pietrelcina. Saint Pio, in what is now a famous conversation he had with Father Gabriele Amort, he told Father Amort that, yes, he had received the third secret of Fatima from the Blessed Virgin herself. And he didn't speak about world wars and things like that, because what really bothered him was that there would be, he said, Satan has entered the very bosom of the church. And soon he will rule over a counterfeit church. And that was something that really troubled him. Sister Lucia of Fatima, when she wrote down the secret, she could not write it down. It was something so horrible. She couldn't bring herself to write it down until the Blessed Virgin herself appeared to her, and it was in with the Mother of God in her presence. Sister Lucia finally had the courage to put the secret down in writing on paper. She had been ordered by the Bishop of Liria Fatima to write it down, and she couldn't bring herself to do it until that moment in 1944, when the Blessed Virgin appeared to her, and in her presence she finally wrote down that secret, put it in the envelope, handed it to the bishop, mm-hmm. and then it was eventually sent to Rome, and Pope Pius XII mm-hmm. Put it into some sort of a safe, a desk, a secure desk that was locked. He did eventually
read... That's not the best security, obviously.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But...
we'll assume it's still there. Yes?
It's still... Yeah, it's exactly where it is now, I don't know. But there are too many people who have seen it. Okay. I'm sure there are too many copies of it floating around that it can't be kept secret forever.
Right.
And
would it surprise you if a photocopy showed up?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. It would not surprise me at all. And certainly the people have a right to know what is there, because the situation in the world is now getting so out of hand that what heaven has revealed about how what will be the result, what is the solution to bring about an end to all the evil that is dominating the world, and in order that people will not just fall into despair, thinking that it's the end of the world and everything's going to end in total destruction. It's not. It is not.
Would make no sense if the controllers of this planet, and there are controllers, destroy everything. How smart is that? They have to have something left to lord over, etc. Anyway, yeah.
Well, the thing is, in those kind of situations, it gets out of hand, and it happened in the Soviet Union with the revolution there, and after the revolution, it happened at the time of the French Revolution, where human powers spread the chaos and warred with each other, and they struggled with against each other, and then another power took over. And that was something not of this world. It was something from below. And it was something that people could feel, and they knew that the demons had taken over, had taken control, and they are the ones, when they gain possession of their human instruments, that's when the world is in danger of being completely wiped out and completely destroyed. But God will not allow that to take place, because he's the creator. Gotcha. He will allow them to think that they will be victorious. He will allow them to think that they have finally prevailed, because the devil wants to be the Lord of the earth. He wants to be the Lord of the earth. He doesn't want God to rule. He doesn't want Christ to be the king. The devil was cast out of heaven. The throne belongs to Jesus Christ, and the throne is forever. The devil will never accept that, but he can never overpower God. So that's the folly of the creature waging war against God. And the devil's minions, his instruments, are again those nations and kings of the earth who wage war against God, and they utter folly, and they wage war against God and against his Christ. Mm-hmm. When the devil has such possession over men, that's when the earth becomes in danger of being having all life exterminated from the planet. That's how that comes about, because it is forces not of this world. It is the principalities and powers of darkness that want to exterminate all of us. That's the real danger, but God is almighty, and people must never forget that there is a God. He is the creator. He is almighty, and he will not let them win. He will not allow it. He will allow them to prevail up to a certain point, but then to make known to his creatures that everything, their salvation, their well-being, everything depends on the grace and power of God, that they must humble themselves before the hand of God and place themselves under God's law and under God's protective jurisdiction.
Right.
This is the reason why God allows the world to be punished in this way. But we must never lose consciousness of the fact that God is almighty and he is infinitely wise. And he will not let the powers of evil prevail over good, because God is infinitely good and infinitely just. And he will not let evil and injustice prevail and take possession of the world.
Good to hear, Father Kramer. Good to hear. We need reassurance in these days. The image, the illusion, would seem to be, as proffered, catered, extenuated by the internet, is that they are in complete control. They have nothing to worry about except bickering and infighting like Trump and Musk. But their control is solid. The Zionists are running the game. And there's a lot to be said for that truth. But ultimately, there's a far higher power than what's going on this sordid little planet down here, which is a mess. And its people, which are really looking, I think, face to face with their own mortality. I don't mean in a war. I mean with respect to artificial intelligence. And I honestly believe that that is in the wrong hands, and it has almost unimaginable potential in terms of Homo sapiens continuing to maintain their role, its role, as number one on this planet. I don't know how it's going to play out exactly, but I am looking at trends all the time. And this trend, which you've heard of, Father Kramer, of people signing up. I don't know what companies are involved, but they're offering you an AI friend, a pal, a companion, someone who will not betray you, someone who will stand with you, for you, etc., fulfilling all the goals of true friendship and commitment to somebody, allegedly. And this is, I think, overwhelmingly attractive to an awful lot of people who are lonely, who have been cast out in their view, they're victims. Remember, victimhood is one of the world's great religions now. I'm being facetious. But this idea of an AI friend is going to be red hot. That's my take. It's moving right now already. I'm not talking about sex robots. I'm talking about an AI friend. You can assign any image you want to it. It's in your computer whenever you want or on your smartphone, and you can talk to it. And people, they've already proven with their social media idiocy that they're willing to share almost anything about their personal lives. So when they've got a guaranteed secure friend for life, an AI friend, they're going to jump in, I think, feet first. They're going to go right into it. That's where I think we're going. In the immediate, and I mean right now, immediate future, people want something they can depend on. They don't look to other people. They don't have social skills. They're not being brought up like we were to learn about life and failure and how to turn failure into a positive thing, etc., etc. They're withdrawing into their screens, and now they're AI friends. This is going to be big. It already is. That's, again, I'm speaking for myself.
They don't understand that they're giving themselves over to an entity that is going to have power over them.
Yep. They don't understand. No. They most certainly don't. But this is a big deal. Big deal, in my view. And it's not being talked about a whole lot yet, but every story I see about my AI friend, and there are people now who are clamoring to be allowed to marry their AI companion. That's how crazy it's already gotten. And I just see young people, Gen Z. What do they have, Father Kramer? What do they have spiritually, most of them? Some are okay, but many of them are just lost. They have nothing going. They won't have jobs. They don't want jobs, a lot of them. They think they're somehow owed an existence. Anyway, please go ahead.
they seem not to understand that these so-called AI friends are just programmed. These are machines that have that are programmed.
Correct.
And they are not programmed. They are not programmed to bring the good and the benefit to the people who subscribe to them.
No. I think they're programmed to ensnare them and keep them close, earn their trust, so to speak, and it's just another out for people who are unable to make life what they think it ought to be. So they're going to go in the wrong direction. But I agree with you.
But they're giving themselves over to something that is going to subjugate them.
Yes, sir. I agree. Yep. And they'll never know.
And that's the opposite of being, as our Lord Jesus Christ said, that the truth will make you free. And
well said. Yeah.
And that first and primary truth, what unites us to is God, and we're united to Him by means of faith. It is faith in Him.
Right.
That is what puts the That gives us the power of divine grace, and that is the true empowerment, the power of divine grace, where Christ our Lord says, if you have the faith like the mustard seed, you could tell this mountain to pick itself up and throw itself into the sea. The faith that moves mountains, that's the power of God. But
right.
The AI friend is the opposite. It's not something that gives that enlightens you with truth, and gives you the power the power of divine grace. It has the opposite. It has the opposite effect. It makes you subjugated. It's an oppressing force. But the person is seduced into it, not seeing that they are going to be suppressed. They're going to be subjugated. And they're going to eventually be oppressed, because they will be suppressed and oppressed,
mm-hmm.
subjugated, and reduced to powerlessness. They will become instrumentalized by forces that are opposed to their well-being. And people don't understand that. But that's what all these AI, the so-called AI friend, is going to do for a person who gets seduced into that kind of relationship with the machine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The very, very unusual times are here. And believe me, I just don't think, in my humble opinion, that the rank and file are going to be able to handle that which they will be tempted with. The AI temptation will be overwhelming to most people. One person who does this will convince potentially dozens of others to sign up and get one too. Well, my AI friend, he never lied to me. Boy, I can find out anything I want about anything. If I need a paper written for me for my high school or college, he'll get it done. He's amazing. How are people going to say no to that? Those who are already under tremendous stress and have no real understanding of what's going on around them. They just don't. Not their fault. This whole thing has been very carefully programmed. Frighteningly so. Anyhow, just forgive my rambling, but I've been watching this AI very carefully, and I honestly think that I'm not overstating anything.
Well, the day is coming soon when we're not even going to have electric lights. So so much for having an AI friend.
That's funny. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I just don't know. All I know is that for everyone listening out there, wherever you are, you really need to prepare. Put some food away somehow, especially if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. Southern Hemisphere, not so bad. But we're going to have trouble here, big trouble. And you need not to be depending on your government to take care of you, to help you. It's not going to happen.
When you're worried about where your next meal is coming from, getting food, dying of hypothermia, when you're worried about getting clean running water, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to run to your AI friend and get any help from there.
No. No, sir. No, I agree. It's a very, very strange contrived world out there for many people. They just don't understand what they're dealing with. They don't. They can't. It's not their fault. When they stare, the average person, Father Kramer, and I believe it's the U.S., but I think it's certainly probably most of the Western world, stares at that smartphone screen 7 hours a day, some eight, six, whatever, 6 to 8 hours a day. 6 to 8 hours a day. That's the data that most of those people will draw from to create their own version of reality, and it's not real. So we're really not we're not doing well to break that. I call it terminal screen addiction. I don't see people, most people, being able to break that, put that phone down and just stop. I don't think it's possible for most of them. It's got too many toys, too many treats in there, too many diversions. Go ahead, please.
When people find themselves put into internment camps, they won't have their toys anymore. They won't have their toys there.
I agree. These are really unprecedented times, and I'm wondering if younger people are joining the church much. What do you hear from those who are actually out around the world in the Catholic world? Are younger people coming into the church?
The only place where you really see younger people coming into the church is into the traditional communities of the church.
Uh-huh.
And the bishops seem to be, the only thing the bishops seem to be really resolute about is suppressing those communities.
Wow.
They want people to get on to the Vatican II bandwagon of all this corrupt modernist theology that is false, that is fake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of false religion that doesn't inspire people. It's like what Al Capone said when he said, "Look, I'm more popular than the President of the United States." Do you know why? It's because I give people what they want. And mm-hmm. it's this, so many of the bishops are just people pleasers. Give the people what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yes, don't deny them. I understand.
But they don't give them that bread of life, which is the faith.
No. Oh, no. I watch these young people with their phones. I have great difficulty seeing salvation for them. They are addicts. They might as well be on heroin. Or worse. But they're hung up on it. It's overwhelming to them. Not all of them. Many of you listening aren't addicts like that, and you're younger. But it's a tough one. You know what you're dealing with in terms of your peers and your group. These people sit down in a restaurant, have a whole dinner, and never talk. They just text each other at the same damn table. How surreal is that?
That is incredible. I have not witnessed that myself because
I haven't witnessed it personally either, Father Kramer, but I've seen and read many accounts of that from people I trust that they have. Wild, wild times. So, yes, we'll talk soon. Keep watch, and this apparently they're going to, I'm guessing they're going to bank on the long haul, 20 years maybe, of this Pope, and they may have turned the volume down, reduced the speed a little bit. I don't know. You'll see it right away. And if you're already getting indications that we're getting that kind of message, I think it's clear. We're not going to be surprised in the right way. This is going to continue.
Well, in the Second World War, the Axis powers they did not invade the Vatican, but in the next war, The Vatican will not be a place of sanctuary for any pope. Let me tell you that they're going to there will be a complete overturning of the power there in the Vatican, and it's going to be a true chaos. There's not going to be a 20 years of this pope ruling.
No, I agree.
Over the church. No way.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Father Kramer. Take care, and we'll talk soon. 2 weeks. Talk to you then.
Bye.
All right. Good night. And good night to you. It's weekend time. Set a little time aside for yourself. Take your shoes off. Go walk on the grass. It's warm up now, and most places warming up, and ground out and just relax. Try and keep the noise and the chaos minimal. Talk soon. Have a good weekend, and back with you on Monday.